Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Most House lawmakers went home this weekend as the deadline to pass spending bills and keep the government open looms. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and a few others stayed behind to work on a possible stopgap measure. This after a tumultuous week on Capitol Hill as House Republicans failed to get an agreement within their own party on a temporary spending plan. As NPR's Claudia Gonzalez reports, once they return to work next week, they will only have a few days to sort out the chaos and avert a partial government shutdown.
McCarthy is facing round three of a showdown with his own members. The first was when he took the speaker's gavel. That was a big fight with his members of his own conference. And then the second was a debt limit fight, which really weakened his position significantly. He is facing more vocal calls to be ousted. It's possible we could see more momentum there from his opponents for him to step down. But this is all tied to the politics of a shutdown as well.
NPR's Claudia Grisales reporting. After a special legislative session in Tennessee failed to yield any meaningful gun safety legislation, the state's Democrats are looking to the federal government for help. Paige Flager from member station WPLN has more.
The Biden administration's new Office of Gun Violence Prevention will give states guidance on how to slow firearm deaths. And the stakes are high in Tennessee. Gunshot wounds are the leading cause of death for children in the state. Tennessee ranks among the top 10 in the nation for per capita firearm homicides and is one of the most dangerous states for women killed by men. Polling shows most Tennesseans want that to change, especially after a school shooting killed six people in March. Democratic lawmakers couldn't get gun reform measures through the Republican-controlled legislature, but they are hoping help from the new federal office could make the state safer. For NPR News, I'm Paige Flager in Nashville.
Thousands of migrants crossed into Eagle Pass, Texas this week seeking asylum, and many have come through San Antonio on their way to their destinations. Texas Public Radio's Caleb Dio reports because of that, the city's Migrant Resource Center is now over capacity.
The center has seen large numbers of migrants from Venezuela, including a man named Juan Carlos. He has been in San Antonio for 5 days. He's been sleeping on pizza boxes outside of the resource center.
There's not enough beds inside anyway. We'll have to sleep on the floor.
He's trying to make it to Miami, Florida, where he knows a friend. He expressed his gratitude for the resource center and the meals provided, even if the portions are small. The migrant center is averaging 750 people per day. U.S. immigration authorities encountered more than 142,000 migrants at the southern border in just the first half of September, on pace to match last year's record high. I'm Kayla Padilla in San Antonio.
And you're listening to NPR News in Washington. Pope Francis celebrated Mass in the French port city of Marseille today as he wrapped up a 2-day visit. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports tens of thousands of people turned out to hear his message to treat migrants more kindly.
Pope Francis specifically chose Marseille for his message. The 2,000-year-old Mediterranean city was founded by the Phoenicians and built by waves of migration.
Grazie, Santo Padre. Marseille.
The Pope said European nations must do more to help migrants. He said those risking their lives at sea are not invading, they are seeking a welcome. The Pope's visit comes amidst a surge of migrant boats from North Africa arriving on the tiny Italian island of Lampedusa. Far-right politicians across the continent are exploiting the situation as the EU seems unable to come up with a cohesive plan. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
New stained glass windows with the theme of racial justice were unveiled at the National Cathedral in Washington today. They fill the space that were once held windows honoring Confederate generals Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. The new ones depict a march for justice by African Americans. At the dedication service today, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, the first Black woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court, read excerpts from the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from Birmingham Jail from 1963. The cathedral removed the old windows after Confederate symbols featured prominently in recent racist violence. You're listening to NPR News.